Hello, and welcome to the Design for Greatness podcast, conversations with Candace to help you elevate your mind, body, and spirit and own your divine greatness. Today, you have my interview with an amazing, driven warrior woman. This lady is focused on carrying out her life's work. She is intentional in how she spends her time and very guided spiritually, following each prompting as she fulfills the missions of her heart. Liz is the owner and creator of Be Healthy Utah, the largest natural health conference in Utah. And this amazing conference is now expanding into the West. She is an author, speaker, podcaster, a mom of six kids, and a wife to Shane Watt for over 31 years. She is truly owning her greatness in order to help so many others own their greatness and fulfill what they feel called to do too. I can't wait to introduce you to Liz Watt. Liz, I am thrilled and delighted to be speaking with you today.
Oh, Candace, what such a nice words that you were able to, you interjected a lot of extra words into my bio. So thank you. That was very kind of you.
You're welcome. Well, I love what you're doing with the Be Healthy Utah Conference. And I am super excited to connect you with my audience and to just share your voice with my tribe. So
well, I am happy to be here too. It's always awesome to be able to meet so many different new people and who are driven and have a purpose in life to be able to create greatness.
Right. It's so inspiring. And that is the whole purpose of this podcast, is to inspire people to own their amazingness and use it to get out there in that world. So my first question for you is, just give us a little bit of your story. Why did you decide to put on the Be Healthy Utah Conference, and how did you realize this unique mission of yours?
Well, I think it starts back a long time ago. And, you know, I was given this dream that me and my husband, we put on a conference, a natural health conference. And I woke up in the morning and my heart was pounding, because you know when the spirit speaks and you try to avoid it, it keeps on sneaking up into you with your heart pounding, hands sweating, you know, your mind racing, thoughts can't stop. And that's kind of what happened, is that I kept on having this recurring thought of me standing on a stage talking to thousands of people. Because we put on this conference. And so later on that night, I was sitting with my husband on the swing as we're overlooking our kids swimming in the pool. And all of a sudden I just blurted out and I said, "Hun, I had a dream last night. We're supposed to put on a natural health conference." And he looks at me and he's like, "No, we can't do that. We've never done something like that before." And it was so true, because I mean, we've always been entrepreneurs in our lives. My husband is a chiropractor. He's been a chiropractor for, you know, 27 years. I've always had businesses within my own life where I've just created things and sold things. And, you know, so we've always had this entrepreneurial mindset, but this is a huge task to be able to put something this greatness, you know, before it's like, oh, we just have our little things that we're doing. But to be able to go and create something that not only costs a lot of money, but brings a lot of people together. And, you know, I reminded him of, because when he said, you know, we can't do that. Well, my son, he at the time was a senior in high school. And he went to go talk to a business guy that was in our neighborhood because he had a business class. And he said, you know, like, "Lance, what is the best business advice you can give?" And he said, "You know, Jace, don't recreate the wheel, but look to see what you love, study it out, and then do it 10% better." It's like, all you have to do is do it 10% better. Well, we had, you know, before we had spoken at different things, and my husband, the way that he works, he likes to have things lined up in order. And there was things that were kind of driving him crazy with how different things were run at these conferences, meetings, you know, get togethers, organizations, whatever. And so I looked at him and I just said, "You know, hun, we only have to do it 10% better. Like, we kind of can see what people are doing, but let's look at it, study it out, and do it 10% better." And for some reason, that that statement put a spark in him. And then that next week we started to see like, okay, where can we house a conference at? We ended up settling on the South Palace, the biggest place in Utah to have a conference at, right? But we found a perfect spot and we had anticipated, we're like, okay, we are just going to plan on 1500 people coming to this conference because, you know, we had this vision. Doesn't everybody else have that vision? Doesn't everyone, you know, it's like, you know, the field of dreams, you build it and they will come, right? And so we had this big vision. We kept on, you know, everybody says, just always put your vision out there and it will come. And so no matter what we did, whatever we spoke, when we talked to vendors, when we talked to people about coming, we're like, we're planning on 1500 people. And we put so much time and effort into figuring out how to put a conference together. And there's so many different pieces that we didn't even realize that we had to learn along the way. And it became one of the most challenging moments in our life. And you know, the day of the conference comes, this was in 2019. Okay. We started to plan it in 2018. This is 2019. And it's the day of the conference. And at this point, you know, at this point, we had only sold on our website, oh, I think it was like 300 tickets, whatever, you know, and we're like, we'd given out, you know, some tickets to businesses and just, well, anyways, that day comes and we end up having 400 people come to the conference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really where your character is shown.
Yeah.
Because you put yourself out there. You tell everybody that you have 1500 people that you're expecting and only 400 come. And you feel like a failure. But there was a moment in that conference where I decided that I was going to have a perspective switch. I needed to change the way that I thought about it because there was 400 people that took time out of their day to come and learn about what we had to offer. And I better celebrate those 400 people that came. And it seemed as if when I had that perspective change, then all of a sudden I started to notice the attendees that started coming up to me saying, Liz, thank you so much for having the courage to put this on. Thank you for pulling us all together. Thank you. You know, we've been trying to find a place that we can gather and you created this. And then at the end, the vendors, you know, they put in their money into this conference. Right. And they came up to us afterwards and they said, you know you didn't get the numbers that you wanted, but you have to keep on going. You have something here. We need this here in Utah. You have to keep on going. And, you know, when you go through something this hard and it doesn't turn out exactly that you want, we have a tendency to walk away.
Right.
But it was that perspective change, humbling ourselves, that made us realize that maybe this mission is bigger than us. Maybe this is something that we all need to, you know, we need to realize that it's a greater power that's pushing this. And I think at that time, we needed the vendors. We needed the people, the attendees to tell us that we have to keep on going. And so that next week we started to plan for the following year. And the thing is that, you know, I had this dream. So it was really tender to me knowing that this dream was, you know, coming to pass, but even though it was different than I anticipated. But I wanted to keep on going, but I didn't know if my husband would want to, you know, because when I stood up in front of those people that day, I didn't stand in front of thousands like my dream showed me, but I stood in front of like 50 people, you know? And so it was far less than what we had anticipated, but we started to just plan for that next year. We're like, okay, we promised those people we would do it. And I'm just grateful that my husband continued on that with me. And so we get to the 6 weeks before our next conference. And as we know, that's 2020.
Right.
Oh. And all of a sudden, our conference is in April. And 6 weeks before the conference, we are in the office at the Mountain America Expo Center asking, what are we supposed to do? And while we're there, they get the call that they're canceling all of the conferences. And here we had worked all year long, and 6 weeks before it was canceled. And when you're starting up something like this, not only is it hard mentally and physically, it's hard financially.
Right.
I mean, you have to put in your money to be able to bring these things to pass. Well, here we had these vendors. We had already sold some, you know, vendor booths. We already had some people that were starting to purchase their tickets, and we had to cancel it. So we thought, okay, we're going to do it for June. We're going to try June. And we get to June. It's like, oh yeah, nope. Okay. We're going to do August. Because we thought, okay, we'll just give it a few more months. August should be good. And August comes and they said, sorry, we have to cancel you. And so I'm like, okay, we have all of these people waiting and they want to have all this information. I had never put on a virtual conference before, but I was like, I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to put on my very first virtual conference. And I ended up getting videotapes from all of these speakers. I found people that would videotape their interactive classes, some food demonstrations. And for 5 days, I just fed people knowledge on natural health and that they could come and have a platform to at least learn as things are shut down. And I don't know how I did it, but I figured out how to run everything in the midst of my son getting married in Alaska. So I had to do everything from Alaska, but you know what? It's like when there's a will, there's a way, right?
Absolutely.
And we were able to have this awesome virtual conference during that time in August. Well, then we plan on, okay, we're going to do it again in April. Well, April comes and they cancel it again, because they need to use the center for a COVID center. And so they cancel this again. And we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And by this time, I mean, we've been working, but our finances have been dwindling too. And thank goodness some of these sponsors like stepped up and said, okay, we're going to get through this, right? They believed in our mission. And so, but my husband, he was like, you know, Liz, maybe we're not supposed to continue on. Maybe this is our time that we just walk away. And I looked at him and I was like, because I knew it within my heart that we were supposed to continue, because I had had that experiences. And that's one thing that we all as entrepreneurs is we have to get that feeling inside of us of why we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we don't, then we will never be able to go through all of these hurdles that we end up experiencing. And he was like, you know, maybe it's time we just walk away. We've already fulfilled your dream, which we did. We did the first conference, right? And we even did a bonus one, the virtual conference. It's like, you know, maybe it's just time we just go, we walk away. We'll just refund everybody their, you know, vendors. We will give back the sponsor money. We'll just give back everybody that purchased the tickets, their money. And I just was like, I went to bed that night sicker than sick.
Just sick,
you know,
right?
Yes, because we have that contention inside of us. That it's like, you know you're supposed to do it, but the world's telling you no. And not only the world, your husband, who you can't do this without, you know? And he was just so like, we just need to walk away. We just need to walk away. And I was like, I can't do that, you know? And so that night I went to bed and I just prayed and prayed and prayed, because I was like, tears were streaming down my eyes. You know, that time you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're a complete mess because that's all you can think about. So that's all you're praying about. Right. And I was like, okay, I know we're not supposed to pray for signs, but I need a sign. I need a sign, because otherwise my husband is walking away.
You gotta like, give me something.
You have my back. Like, I will do what you want me to do, but this needs to be like, my husband has to know. And during that prayer, it was like, my mind kept on reverting to a situation. And finally, it just kept on going there. Finally, I stopped my prayer and I said, okay, Heavenly Father, obviously this is consuming my mind. I need to think about this first before I can get back with my prayer. So then I figure that all out, this whole scenario in my brain. And then I come back, I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to pray. Now you need to give me a sign, right? Well, anyways, a few days later, we were at an event and me and my husband were sitting there, and all of a sudden, what was happening in my brain when I was saying that prayer played out exactly on the stage. Wow. Exactly. I knew exactly the person who was going to stand, where he was standing, what he was going to do. I knew exactly, because it already had played out in my brain during that prayer. And I knew at that moment that was my sign. And I looked over at my husband and I said, we're putting on the conference. I just got my sign. And anyways, thank goodness he believed in me again. And isn't that so true? Along our journeys, we have to have those people that believe in you, even when you have these crazy moments.
Absolutely. Together we rise. We're not meant to be doing it alone.
No, yes, that's why we have tribes, right?
Right.
Is because we cannot do it alone, and we need the help here and we need the help above.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise we can't do this, you know? And right. So he finally was like, okay, I'm all in. Let's do it. And you know, it's 2022. And it's the day of the conference, and there was like some technical difficulties going on the main stage. And so we had all these volunteers there, and we were like, okay, start scanning people in. We're going to go in and figure this out. And it took us about a half an hour to figure this out. Well, my husband leaves the room, and all of a sudden he comes running back in. He grabs my hand and he's like, you have to come with me. And he pulls me out to the halls, and like, we stop at hall one and he's like, look, there's people. And there was people in the halls, you know? And then he takes me over to the next hall and he's like, look, there's more people. And then we go to like hall three and there's like the sea of people. And he like leans over, gives me this huge kiss, and he looks at me and he just has tears coming down his eyes, because, you know, we are just been spent. Like, we have gone through the refiner's fire to get to this point. And he just is like, he pulls me close, gives me a big kiss. And he's like, they came. They actually came. And at that moment, it was like, we were transcended. You know, we realized that we had gotten to this point wasn't because of just us, but it was because it was a greater movement beyond us, of that all these people needed to get together. All of these people needed to learn. All these people needed to have a place that they could learn how to take care of their bodies, how to educate them so that they could have the option to know what to do. Because we know during that COVID season that there was a lot of things that a lot of our rights were, you know, put on the mantle. A lot of how we need to live our lives was told to us. And a lot of people were lost and they didn't know how to, what was right and what was wrong. And they were really faced with that moment of, what do I need to do? And these people that came, their eyes were kind of opened at that time. And that conference, we ended up having 2,200 people that came.
Wow.
That is so amazing. From 400 to 2,200. Yeah. And we, even though COVID was so hard for us, and there's so many times we wanted to give it up, I think we needed that. I think
it opened people's eyes. It made people realize that they needed to take some ownership over their health and ownership over how they were going to proceed and what information they were going to believe and which information they were not.
And there was a people there that came to that conference that probably would not have even thought of coming to a conference like that before.
Yeah.
And then the following year in 2023, we had 3,300 people come to the conference. Wow. I mean, that is amazing. And you know, when I stood up in front of people, now it's like I'm standing in front of hundreds of people. I'm not to the thousands yet. It's going to come, right?
But I've had your same vision, Liz. I chuckle because I've had this same vision of me in front of thousands of people. And
well, you're going to be able to do that at the Be Healthy Utah conference this year, which is going to be awesome, right?
Yes. Like,
what an awesome experience. As we grow, more people are just realizing the importance of who they are. And that, you know what, our bodies can determine, you know, it affects all areas in our lives. And, you know, you say, like, why do you do this? Well, I had an experience where, you know, here I grew up in with being married to my husband for a long time. You know, we've been married for 31 years, right? We have lived a holistic lifestyle. I had my babies at home with the midwife. I was that crazy person that had our babies at home. I would go to the doctors, figure out what's going on with my child. And then instead of going and getting prescriptions, I would go to the herb store and figure out what are the herbs that I need. And I began to be so educated on natural approaches to taking care of our bodies. But, you know, Candace, what happened is that even though I was living this holistic lifestyle, I had a husband that was treating patients holistically. You know, we were on this path of just living this holistic life. I got sick. And not only a little sick, I started to get really sick. And here I was having these kids and my body was starting to break down more and more and more. And I noticed it after I had my second child, and I would all of a sudden have these weird things that were happening to my body. And it got to the point where my husband was like, how come I can fix everyone else's wives, but not my own? And that was so true, because he would adjust me and my body would inflame. And he'd be like, okay, I'm going to send you into the massage therapist. And during the time that I was getting massage, oh, it felt great. But within 2 hours, I was inflamed. I couldn't even walk. I would be, you know, in my bed because my body was so inflamed at the time. He would try, like, you know, okay, we're going to try these electric stem on you, whatever, make it worse. Everything just made it worse. And finally we got to the point, it's like, just don't touch me. My body has to go through this cycle. And we know that it can be a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, sometimes it was even 6 months that I would be experiencing these things. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden there was times I ended up in a wheelchair because I could not walk. I was in so much pain. And I would have to be in crutches or a wheelchair because I was in too much pain to be able to walk around. Now, when you are a mom with six kids, how do you do this?
That is not in the cards.
That's not how we're supposed to live, right?
So hard.
But it was like the Spirit just told me, said, you know, Liz, I need you to learn a trait to help and serve others, but you first have to heal yourself. And I was like, what do you mean heal myself? I have been trying all of these things, but and how do I heal myself? And so I finally came to that point that it was like, I just have to give it up. I have to just be whatever you tell me. Like, obviously my knowledge, even my husband's knowledge, is not helping. And, you know, I had at this point so many different MRIs. And not only did I see like holistic health doctors, but I went to regular MD doctors, and they were puzzled. They had no clue what to do with me. And they're like, we don't know what's going on with you, Liz. You know, I had so many different MRIs, and just nobody could figure out what was going on with me. But once I was like, okay, just tell me what to do.
Like, surrender is tricky.
Yes. Just tell me what to do. And all of a sudden it was like, you need to start to learn fermentation. It's like, what in the heck? I have no clue what that is. I don't even know what that is, but it's like, I saw something and it was like, you need to ferment, you know, ketchup or whatever. I was like, what in the heck? Like, I don't know. What are you talking about? And so we had gone on this like small vacation, and my husband had to leave. We were there for a week, but my husband had to leave after like 3 days. And I was like, okay, I brought all of these health books. Plus I knew, I was like, I'm just going to start studying. I don't even know what this is. And all of a sudden I came home and I was like, okay, I'm going to learn what this fermentation stuff is, because I have no clue. And all of a sudden my husband comes home, and it was like 2 weeks later. And he's like, Liz, there's something that I need to teach my patients, because I've been hearing from all of these doctors that this is really the center of how to get people well. And that's, can you learn how to make fermented vegetables? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have already learned that. Like, I know what I've studied this for the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And so I went in the kitchen.
There's this quote that says repetition should rivet your attention. And I think that repetition is like, yes, that's from God. Listen, it's important.
Yes. And so I went in the kitchen and I just started fermenting these vegetables. After learning all of this stuff, it's like, okay, let's put it into work here. And then 5 days later, we start eating these rotten vegetables, you know? But I was like, I don't know, but let's just try it. So then it was like, I started to have that part. And then it was like, you know, now you need to get in your pantry and get out all of the flour, sugar, the corn, the, you know, all of the gluten, the soy, like all of this stuff. You just need to strip down to where you are just having what comes from the earth. And so I went in my pantry and I threw out everything that did not feel good to me, that felt like, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. And I had already made all of this stuff from scratch. Like, I'm a cook, you know, but I always said, your dishes, you can make anything with flour and butter, like flour, butter, and sugar. Like, you can make anything with this, you know. Now I do love butter, so I'm good with that. But I'm just saying that you can dollop any type of dish with, you know, flour, butter, and sugar. It makes everything better, right? And so anyways, I had to then start to learn how to cook in ways without all of these products. And so then I started to incorporate all that stuff. And then it was like, oh, I remembered my husband's allergies, you know, previous years before that. He grew up with awful allergies, and he heard somebody talk about that if you have this, or, you know, 100% pure organic juice, than aloe vera juice, then you, your allergies will go away. Well, we didn't know what the behind background of that is, but we were like, let's just try it. And he used to do fairs in the summer on the 4th of July, and he couldn't even function because his allergies were so bad. He couldn't mow the lawn because his allergies were so bad. It completely took away all of his allergies. So wow. Then I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to have aloe vera. Well, as we're going along this process, all of a sudden we start realizing, what does the fermentation do? What is it doing to our body? What is the aloe vera doing? What is that doing to our body? You know, what is this bone broth doing? What is it doing to our body? And, you know, after, I am so serious, after it was like 4 or 5 months, all of a sudden, like, as I was going through getting sick, I started getting these numb spots all over my body. And as I was doing this, all of a sudden, those numb spots were coming back to life. You know, our bodies are amazing. They are created to heal. We just need to give it the proper environment, right? And I was finally giving it the environment that I didn't know that I was missing, but it came from above. Is like, this is how you heal your body. And so I did, you know, with doing all of these things, all of a sudden it was like these numb spots, I was able to start to feel my skin again. I mean, that's amazing. And then I was at the time allergic to metals. All of a sudden I could wear earrings again, and I couldn't use soap for years because it burnt me. And I was finally able to use soap. My pH, it, you know, balanced. And there was like miracle after miracle that was happening to my body. But the most miracle thing that happened to me is the inflammation that I was experiencing in all of my joints went away. And I was able to live this life. And now it's like, oh, I got this awesome opportunity. I have learned this trait. Now I can help and serve others, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I started teaching people. I started having these classes. I'm like, I know this is weird, but I was like, I was having like teaching these fermentation classes. I was teaching people how to, you know, do like the nut milks and just really trying to get back to the basics of how to create things in your life that come from the earth. And I was having all of these people come. I started to see clients, and people that I saw were getting better. And I was getting all of these testimonials from people saying, my life has changed. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I'm helping people. But it was like at that moment that I thought that I had learned this trait, that it's, you know, when we start to get comfortable in something in life, right? I mean, you probably teach this with your clients all the time. Yeah. That when you start to get comfortable, there's more out there. There's more out there you have to learn. And so all of a sudden, I just had this like nagging feeling inside of me that it was like, Liz, that there's more, there's more, you're too comfortable, right? And anyways, I just typed in natural healing into Google because I was like, okay, well, what else is there, right? And all of a sudden, I started these articles and websites and books just started coming to me to make me realize that, you know, it's not just about our health for, you know, to get our body healthy, but it's also, there's emotional things that go along with our health.
Absolutely.
And the reason why my health started to falter in the beginning was because I was not dealing with those emotional things in my life.
100%.
That's the human
trifecta. That's my whole business, right? You can't just address one. It's the mind, the body, and the spirit.
And yes,
it's so important. You have to address all of them.
And, you know, a little bit later, we'll go into some of these emotional things if you want to, because that deals with my book and stuff like that. But I had grown up different than a lot of other people. And so it affected how I was when I was a child. And I took those feelings along with me into my adulthood. And when you think that you can just abandon these things, because it's like you go from childhood to adulthood, right? You can just, you know, you're a big girl. You can put those things away on the side, right?
Just pull up your big girl pants. You're fine.
Yes.
Stuff it under the rug. Yep.
But you know what? It's like that book, Your Body Keeps the Score, right? And my body kept the score. And I didn't figure out that it really was keeping my emotional score until my husband got a neurofeedback machine in his office. And he was like, okay, I'm going to be training on you, Liz. And so anyways, the company that had this, the neurofeedback machine, they are training him. And then he's like, you're going to be my person. So he puts all of these electrodes on my head. Right. And they start running all this test. And all of a sudden, I mean, the guy that was helping didn't know that I was his wife. And he's like, wow, whoever this is has so much anxiety in their life. And my husband's like, it's my wife. She doesn't have any anxiety. Like, she can really, like, her life is not anxiety filled, because what do? We know how to cope with it, right? Mm-hmm. We have all of these things going on inside, but on the outside, we portray ourselves to be different because we have learned how to deal with it. And now, was I anxious on the outside? No, I had a calm demeanor, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the inside, because I would figure it out on the inside. So the outside of me was okay. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what do you mean a lot of anxiety? So then I started to think about, okay, if it's saying I have a lot of anxiety, what is this? And I started to recognize my thought patterns. And I started to recognize that Heavenly Father wanted me to prepare to do something. Didn't know what it was, but I would get all of these thoughts, like these grand audacious of thoughts of doing something, which put me out there into the spotlight of something, right? And then it was like, all of a sudden I started realizing, oh, need to back up. Can't do that, because people are going to know who you are. They're going to know your mistakes you have in your life. They're going to know that you're this crazy person, right? Right. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Don't need to do that. And then all of a sudden it was like, put back on my heart again. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, yep. Okay. Need to start backing up, because those emotional triggers are starting to creep up within us. And so then I realized that I need to deal with these emotional things in my life, because these are the things that are making me sick.
Absolutely.
And if I don't deal with these, then I am not going to be able to do my purpose in life. So anyways, I started then to incorporate these emotional aspects with helping my clients. And then this is kind of like where your part goes too. And this was such a confirmation to me from not just me, but from up above. That it was like, okay, now Liz, you have the eating part, you have the emotional part, but now there's the mind part. Mm-hmm. And if we don't figure out how to change our brain to be able to make these changes in our lives, then it's kind of like our brains are very good at teaching us that we, you know, that wants to be safe, and anything that makes it harder, it's going to push against, right?
Oh, absolutely. And
yes.
The lower brain versus the higher brain.
Yes. And 100%. It is going to make us safe, and yeah, it's going to keep us away from danger, right?
Yeah.
And whenever,
tribal paranoia. Yeah,
whenever we get on this path of being able to create greatness in our lives, then our mind is going to be like, oh, wow, well, that's going to make us have changes. We like to be comfortable. And so all of a sudden, the spirit started to teach me, this is what you need to do with your clients now. This is how you change your brain. This is what you need to do. And I knew within me too, I started using these techniques on me. And all of a sudden I started to notice that the way that I thought was changing, and that I was now experiencing like a full change. And, but then after I implemented this with my clients, I started seeing them like really have these changes. But then it was like the spirit said, okay, now you have these, but there's one more that you need to incorporate. And it is the spiritual part of it. And this is what I love to speak on. This is what I think, that if we don't have this key element in whatever we do, then we will never continue on the path. And that is to have a spiritual connection of why and what we're doing. We have to have that within us, that knowing that this is what our calling is. This is what connects us to what we're supposed to be doing. That is what got us.
Yeah, with all of the resilience that you've had to have through all of these things, that is so powerful. That is probably, how did you even get to that though? But that is the thing that pulls you through. That is the one thread that allows you to have the grit necessary to be resilient and to get up every time you feel like you fail, and to keep putting on the conferences when you have obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. So what really
and it was that, well, it was that spiritual connection. But the way that the thing that I saw on my journey is that Heavenly Father first knew that I had to heal my body before I could even get to the spiritual connection of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that He knows what we need at the time. And sometimes people need that spiritual connection first, or sometimes they need to have, you know, the health part, or maybe they might need the emotional part. Like, we don't know what that is until we start listening to our bodies. Yeah. And we don't know, and we start listening to our bodies are created to heal, and our bodies are created to have these spiritual beings within us that guides us and leads us. But the world tells us, you have to listen to me. Like, you have to take this, you have to do this. But that spiritual connection starts within. And so it wasn't until I then started to pay more attention to what the spirit was teaching me. And throughout this whole process, the spirit was teaching me, because I was being healed. But it was once I got that, this is a mission far greater than me. This is God's mission.
Truly.
This is where He needs me to create the difference in the world. And all of us are born that way. All of us, like, how, you know, like, you've had Jason Hewlett on here, and he's talked about that when God puts something on your heart, how dare you do that? How dare you not do that, right? Right. And it's like, I felt like this is what He needs me to do in my life. And He's going to ask me to do some hard things. And I had to get that spiritual connection. And whenever anybody does anything in their life, I always tell them, what's your spiritual connection to that? Because if you don't figure out that spiritual connection, it's going to be so easy to walk away. It just is.
Yes. So what I call it is living with a mind firmly aligned, a body purposefully loved, and a spirit powerfully accessed. And that is when your human trifecta is truly healthy and humming. And with one of those pieces out of alignment, we really aren't able to hear our calling. We're not really able to, you know, all of those have to be in sync in order for us to truly step up to who we really are and step into that mission. And imposter syndrome is a real thing. Depression is a real thing. Discouragement is a real thing. And the enemy would love to shut every single person down that knows they have a calling inside. So it's so powerful what you've shared with us today. As we wrap up, do you have anything on your heart that you feel you'd like to share?
You know, I want everybody to know that they were created for greatness, that there is a purpose for you in your life, and what you do, no matter what it is going to influence people for good, or it's going to influence for people for negative. And you get to choose that. And I know that my purpose is to influence people for good. You know, Candace, I kind of talked about this as I was going through some of the stuff, and I know that we're probably running a little bit short on time, so I'll be brief. But you know, I grew up in a family that is not, you know, people would be acceptable. I grew up in a polygamous family, and my dad, he had four wives, and there was a lot of things that I experienced growing up of feeling, you know, judged, resentment, humiliated, embarrassed. And I felt like my self-worth was nothing. And I was always going to be second best to everyone. But, you know, when people saw me at school, they thought that I was the girl with the smile on her face. And I was friends to everyone because I was, because that was who I was inside. But the adversary told me for so many years that I was not worth it. And I would never be able to be the kind of influence that I want to be on others, because I just am not that person. You know, people are always going to look at me and say like, oh, that's the polygamous girl, right? And so I tried to hide myself from the world. I tried to hide it. And there was an experience that happened to me when I was in high school. And this boy asked me to go for a drive. And we end up sitting in front of this pizza shop. And we're sitting there chit-chatting away. And all of a sudden, he just starts yelling at me to hide. And I didn't know what was going on, you know? Like, why would this guy be telling me to hide? And so quickly, I like jumped underneath the dashboard because I didn't know if there was a fight, if there was a shooting, you know, what was going on. And all of a sudden, I look over at him and I just see him raise his hand up and he waves to people as they go past the car. And at that moment, I realized why I was underneath that dashboard. And it wasn't because of danger. It wasn't because there was a shooting or a fight or any of that type of stuff. It was because he was embarrassed to be with me. He probably wanted to be with me, but he didn't want anybody else to see that he was with me. So he told me to hide. And that experience lived with me forever. And it tries to take me down throughout many moments in my life. And, you know, it was a few years ago, because that moment ruled my life for so many years, right? Because my value belonged underneath the dashboard. And as I was sitting there thinking about that moment one day, the Spirit taught me something totally different. You know, it taught me that on the floor of that dashboard that day, there was actually two girls. There was the girl that was bruised and broken and humiliated. But then there was the other girl that some way, somehow found her way to pull herself back up on that seat. And that night, I had to pull myself back up on the seat. I couldn't sit there forever. But for so many years, I focused on the girl underneath the dashboard. But why don't I focus on the girl that pulled herself back up on the seat? I mean, we hear, you know, there, we fall and we rise. We fall and we rise, right?
Right.
And that night, in the most humiliating moment in my life, I found the way to pull myself back up on that seat. let's focus on that girl.
Absolutely.
And my whole shift changed in life. Where's that girl? Because that girl, the girl number two, can create miracles in life. That girl number two can move mountains. That girl can create a conference now that everyone is begging to come to. That girl can change this world. I think that that's what God wants us to do, is find that girl number two in our lives, because 100%. She can change. She can do the work he needs. She can do the hard things in life, because that's how she was created.
100%. Well said.
I have a book coming out. It's called Becoming Me, A Polygamous Girl's Journey. And it's just about, it's an inspiring memoir of my life and how I found, you know, my self-discovery. I found love. I found forgiveness. And I just hope that people, as they read this, they will see that just because of how life is, we have these tragedies in life, but we can find the blessings amongst them. And once we focus, like you talk about, what you focus on is what comes to pass, right?
Absolutely.
When you focus on those blessings, then all of a sudden, you don't see that girl number one, but you see that girl number two.
100%. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here, Liz. And we'll link to the Be Healthy Utah conference, which is April 19th and 20th, coming right up in the show notes.
And if you're there, come up and introduce yourself. I love to be able to, you know, meet new people, get pictures with people. I just love all that kind of stuff. So come up and introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
My dear friends, thank you for joining me today. I love Liz Watt. She truly is an example of listening to her heart and being guided by the Spirit to follow her mission. I love how she is so passionate about helping all of us be healthy in natural ways. Her example of resilience and continuing forward despite obstacle and perceived failures, it's truly amazing. If you'd like to check out more about Liz, her website and social media handles are in the show notes. And if you would like to join us at Be Healthy Utah, I am speaking, Liz will be speaking, so many other amazing people will be speaking. It is going to be an amazing conference. It's April 19th and 20th at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy, and I will put a link in the show notes to sign up. Or feel free to contact me. I will give you all the details. I would love to hang out with you there and introduce you to the amazing Liz Watt. If you listen to these podcasts and feel inspired, please rate, review, and share them. This helps others find the podcast. Together we rise. One thing I know to my core is that each and every one of us is designed for greatness, with a unique mission and purpose that our life has prepared us for. It won't be easy. It will require fortitude and grit, but it will be glorious. If you are ready to live an elevated, meaningful life of fulfillment, if you are ready for a mind firmly aligned, a body purposefully loved, and a spirit powerfully accessed, please reach out to me. Use the link in the show notes to schedule a free clarity call. I would love to connect. And as always, believe in your belovedness and own your greatness. You are designed for greatness.